A little dad humor this morning for you. A little dad humor on the next slide. This is great. I laughed out loud for 30 seconds when I saw this. You guys get it? I can explain it if you need. You could go far in life. Okay, so the family and I will have an opportunity later this afternoon to go to Southside Community Center. Pastor Irene was here about 3 or 4 weeks ago, and we'll be at an event at the Harrison Homes, celebrating and honoring some of the very few fathers that are in that community with a cookout, as well as some mothers who are forced into playing a dual role in their children's lives. And I look forward to that. It also happens to be the celebration of Juneteenth. And what is Juneteenth? Well, this holiday's origin begins in Galveston, Texas, which was the most western place in the Union in 1865, where enslaved people were told of their emancipation on June 19th, which is today, 1865, that they had technically had already been freed 2.5 years prior to that, but no social media, no emails, no news reports saying that they were freed. So this comes 2.5 years later. And so slaveholders in Texas had kept that information to themselves, extending the period of violent exploitation of enslaved African Americans. Well, on June 19th, 1865, they finally received word that they were indeed free. So happy Juneteenth, and I believe it's celebrated tomorrow as a federal holiday. In other news, last Sunday, we had the true gift of worshiping with Roanoke Mennonite Church as we had the completion of our VBS Sunday. What a wonderful week it was, and I just want to say a special thank you to those who participated and helped. The names are listed here on the screen, so let's just appreciation for each one of them. It was a great week. Just a fun week. And then also, welcome to summer. Summer, it's been great. This heat has been a gift to all of us who live indoors, right? Because it's been hot, amen? Although yesterday and today, beautiful days for sure. During the summer, we usually take a break away from our lectionary-based rhythm of the church, and we go into this summer series, and it is an intergenerational series. So, you know what? We're going to have some fun each and every week like we just did, okay? So that's all summer long. Last year, we did Seeking Justice Together. This year, Seeking God Together. And in this series, we'll be looking at Christian practices, some very familiar to us and maybe some that are not so emphasized on a regular basis. Sometimes we call them the littles or the students will come back after they do their learning time now downstairs, and they'll come back and share with us a little bit about what they are learning about, which is the same topic in the topic of prayer today. And we have an opportunity to share with them as well. So this week, as you know, we've had the Reader's Theater and the Scripture. Our theme is about prayer and seeking God together through prayer. And what a wonderful text we have from this Gospel of Luke. Reader's Theater emphasized it. And so let's just jump right in, and I'll have some questions as we go. In verse 1, it says, Jesus was praying in a what? In a certain place. You can imagine if we had the word certain for them to draw. How would you draw certain? Right? A certain place. When he finished, one of the disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. So even here, I love that Jesus was in a certain place. It doesn't say where, but a certain place. And we know from our game that prayer can happen anywhere, at any time. But Jesus was in a certain place. And I wonder for you, do you have that place? Is there a place where you sort of set aside, this is where there is, where the Father and I, or God and I, are in communication with one another? Maybe you have a certain place for yourself. Or maybe it is all places, right? And I love this. When he had finished, it says, one of his followers, one of his disciples, requested the following. It says, Lord, teach us to pray. teach us to pray, just as John, that is John the Baptist, taught his disciples. So I want to pause here. Lord, teach us to pray. And Garrett, I have microphone B here. Lord, teach us to pray. The question is, who taught you how to pray? Who taught you how to pray? And then, what did they teach you about prayer? And I would love, like, maybe just three, four people just to give a brief. Who taught you to pray? And what was it about prayer that they taught you? So, I have the microphone, and I'd love to pass it to somebody when you feel ready. Who was it? Yep, Don, great. There you go.
When I was very small, my mother taught me how to say a bedtime prayer. My bedtime prayer was, see if I can remember.
Yeah.
Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep.
There you go. And that was from your mother?
That was my mother.
Okay. And her name was?
Bernice.
Thank you. Thank you, Don. How about anyone else? Who taught you how to pray? And what was it about prayer that they taught you? Oh, over here, Deb. Could you pass that back to Deb? Thanks.
It was mostly my mom. Mm.
Another mother?
Mm-hmm. And basically talking to God.
Okay.
Is what she taught me.
Yeah, talking to God or with God. Yep, thank you, Deb. Great. Oh, yeah, Kate over here, great. I know you love microphones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My parents taught us to pray at the dinner, at the meal table.
Okay.
And sometimes we would go around and all the children would pray. And my sister Anne was praying one day and she said, "And God bless baby Catherine, and she's a stinker."
So wow.
You tell God how it is.
You tell God what's really on your heart. No, that's good. That's good. I like that. Yeah, because God can hold that for sure. Yeah, so teaching us to pray. Who was it that taught you? And so it was, for me, it was my mother. My mother taught me how to pray. And shortly after that, some of the teachers of my Catholic school, along with Father Cosgrove. And I was taught that prayer began and ended with the sign of the cross, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I was taught also as well with prayer is that form prayer, like that of our text today, the Lord's Prayer, is what we often prayed. I was taught the Glory Be. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Prayer of St. Francis was a popular one. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Darkness, light, and sadness, joy. So I was taught form prayers, or prayers that are already, you know. And so we've all had our teachers. We've all had our teachers. And we are thankful for them. And they have helped us to communicate. They've helped us to be with. They have helped us to seek, ask, and knock through prayer with our Creator. Though let me ask this question. What is prayer in the first place? What is prayer? What is actually happening during prayer? Is there a right way to pray? Is there a right place to pray? Is there a form of prayer that bends God's ear or grabs his heart more than others? Well, this past week I asked, or people that I bumped into at coffee shops, okay? This week I just did a sort of experiment. And I asked them, I go, "Hey, I'm going to ask you a question. Don't think about it. Just give me a one-sentence response." And the question is, what is prayer? What is prayer? Okay? A couple different folks said, one was, it's communication with God. Okay? Very simple, direct. Another person said, prayer. What is prayer? Silence, listening, and sometimes song. Another person said, it's communion with our Maker. And another person said, well, it's complicated. It's complicated. Amens? right? It's complicated. Now, I didn't see St. Ignatius of Loyola at a coffee shop this week, but St. Ignatius says it this way, everything that one turns in the direction of God is prayer. I love that. The truth is that we could spend a whole summer, a whole series, just talking about just prayer, types of prayer, forms of prayer, the power of prayer. It could easily be 12 weeks for sure. And because we don't have 12 weeks, we should conclude today around 6 p.m. Okay, so Father's Day lunch will be dinner now. But as we return to our text of this Luke passage, we note that in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus, before this time, had already had 6 different occasions where it said that Jesus was in prayer. And for this time, it was a certain place. And a brief summary of our passage then, the disciples ask their Lord, teach us how to pray. The Lord replies in a similar fashion as he shared in Matthew chapter 5 with the Lord's Prayer. And then Jesus launches into a parable regarding hospitality and bread. Okay? And then it's all tied to this verse 9 and 10. And I'll read that for us right now. And I tell you, ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. It says this in verse 10, everyone who asks receives. Whoever seeks finds. To everyone who knocks, the door is open. Now, this passage, this text, it's easy to shout amen to this if you're in a season when all of your prayers are being answered. Right? I mean, we can give witness to verses 9 and 10 throughout our lives, but what if we're in a season where, truth be told, this isn't our experience? As a pastor, I have never had anyone come to me and say with the question, Pastor, why is it that all my prayers are being answered? That's not, usually the opposite is true. The opposite is true, okay? It's more, hey, Pastor, I've asked, but I have not been given. I have searched, I have sought, and I have not found. I have knocked, and the door seems to be jammed shut. Anyone else? Prior to accepting this role, this call to Metamore Mennonite Church over 5 years ago, who's counting? There was a church in Austin, Texas that I had interviewed with. And I was one of their final 2 candidates. Okay, this is before coming to Metamore Mennonite. They even flew Miley and I down for the weekend. And it was a position for adult ministries pastor, adult formation position. And I really, really desired it. I really, really wanted, that was just exciting, right? Austin, Texas, let's go, right? A new church, new place, new people, right? I was very excited, and I wanted this to become reality. And so what did I do? Well, I prayed. And I prayed some more, and I'm here this morning with you. Okay, so knock and the door will be opened. Okay, all right. So what's going on here? Okay, anyone else? Like, witness this, right? This seems to be, it's interesting that this text says this. Okay? The knock and the door will be, it appeared and it felt in that situation that the door was not opened. Yet, it was my heart's desire and it was my earnest prayer. I've prayed for other significant things. I have prayed for friends of mine who are ill to be healed, to be made well again. I have prayed for marriages that are in trouble. I have prayed for students that I used to minister to in youth ministry who are now dealing with life. I have prayed for churches, one specifically in Peoria, that's navigating huge changes. I've prayed for many significant and weighty things. And oftentimes I'm left wondering, hello, Is there anyone on the other line? God must be on line two. I might have to switch over. I'm just wondering if anyone's been there. So as I struggle with prayer, and I share with friends of mine, and maybe you've heard some of these same responses regarding perhaps the reality of unanswered prayers, maybe you've heard the following. Eric, maybe you haven't prayed hard enough. Perhaps your faith isn't strong enough. Eric, I wonder if your motives are in the wrong place. Well, you know, Eric, this just means that God has something better in mind. And I would say, I won when I got to be part of this church, okay? And not Austin, right? That's good. Or Eric, God must be putting you through some sort of tests. Brothers and sisters, regarding prayer and how it works, I don't have the answers. I don't. Though I wonder if what we have been taught about prayer or it might actually get in the way of prayer. Perhaps sometimes what we've been taught about prayer can add to our frustration with this practice of prayer. In this practice, I believe prayer, if someone asked, what prayer, Eric, what is prayer? I think in its essence, it's about communion and presence. Communion and presence. So returning to my earlier question that we passed the microphone on, who taught you to pray, and what did they teach you? What did they teach you about prayer? Well, some of us may have received, well, if you bow your head, close your eyes, fold your hands, confess your sin, believe not only with your mind, but also believe fully in your heart. And if you ask God the right way, in the right spirit, with the right words, God will grant your request. And this does happen. Everything I just said, that can happen. And it does. Though my experience has not been that. That's not the norm. That's not the norm. So I want us to hold this question, ponder this together this morning regarding unanswered prayer. What if we are not to blame for unanswered prayer, but neither is God? Neither is God. Let us ponder the idea that God is neither a dispenser or a withholder of answers, things, or what we want. Although we may have never been explicitly taught, some of us, when we think about prayer, we can adopt the vending machine theology can become our understanding of prayer. If we insert the right mix of coins, a coin of deep faith, a coin of sacrifice, perhaps even fasting, a coin of pure intentions, maybe even a coin of good behavior. If we make the selection, the answer from God will be exactly what we want. Friends, I would love for that to be the case. I would love for that to be the reality. But in my experience, it's just not the case. I would love that reality because it would produce the results. It would be certain. It would be predictable, formulaic. And I deeply wish this is how prayer worked. I wish it were. But maybe your lived experience is something like pushing the Coke button and you got a diet root beer that came out. Like, I didn't ask for this. Or maybe worse, the machine ate your money. Also can be true. Brothers and sisters, I don't think prayer is meant to be that transactional. I think in its essence, it's meant to be relational. Not transactional, but relational. Returning to verse 9 and 10. And I tell you, ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. Asking, seeking, knocking cannot, must not be divorced from the context of the Lord's Prayer, which comes right before those verses. It cannot be divorced from that context. Because what the Lord's Prayer is indeed inviting us, inviting me to do, Okay? The Lord's Prayer here in Luke, taught by Jesus, invites us to align our very lives with the hallowing of God's name. It invites God's kingdom into our lives and our relationships by becoming open to the gifts and the provision of the day. Give us this day our daily bread, as well as the giving and receiving of forgiveness. The giving and the receiving of forgiveness. Instead of thinking about prayer as maybe this slick technique or magic formula for getting God to move regarding whatever we want, what I see in the Lord's Prayer, it's not about calibrating God to us, but I think it's about ourselves being recalibrated to God. When the unnamed disciple, could be me, could be you, when the unnamed disciple says, "Jesus, teach us to pray, teach us how to pray," what Jesus offers or describes is a certain posture, a way of standing, a way of being before God, one that is exposed and responsive to a holy God. Could it be that prayer is actually more for our benefit than it is for God? Could it be that prayer is not about asking God to do things for me, but rather it is the way by which I can actually stay open, keyword open, to the present moment, and open to that which is coming in the near future? Open. Prayer is the way that I can stay open to the coming of the kingdom. Prayer is the way that I can stay open to the coming of daily bread. Prayer is the way that I can stay open to the giving and the receiving of forgiveness. Prayer is a recalibrating ourselves to be open to God. And that's not of our own will or our own doing, but it's the Holy Spirit that is the energizing energy. It's the energy behind it. It's the Holy Spirit's work. So that when life does come, so that when the ground beneath us begins to shift, when life can come unhinged, or maybe we could be just overwhelmed by it all, when we reach or realize that our limits of our own agency or ability to control something through prayer, we don't give up. We don't give up. American philosopher and professor of religion at Syracuse University, John Caputo, says it this way: prayer opens the present moment to the possibility of something new, the chance of something different, something that will transform the present into something else. And I would say, I would add to this, and that also can transform us at the same time. Recalibrating prayer. So today we challenge any sort of view of prayer that's a transactional one. Not a transactional one, but rather a view of prayer as a practice to create a greater openness to what is. An openness to what is currently in our world, and as well as what's coming in the future, be it the next hour, the next week, or the next year. The vending machine God needs to die. Not sure that God exists anyway. As we consider the role of prayer in our lives, so maybe we walk away from that vending machine. And what would it look like to not spend so much time or energy in prayer trying to control or determine a future? What if we began simply to live open? Open to and ready to say yes to that which God desires to birth in you. Lord, teach us to pray, says the unnamed disciple. And I think that even today we can say that. Lord, teach us to pray, because we're all beginners still. Let us begin again. Lord, teach us to pray. always learning to pray. Jesus doesn't give the correct coins or the correct formula for the vending machine. Jesus instead teaches us about who and how God is. So when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive everyone who has sinned against us, and lead us not into temptation. While God can and often does change circumstances, in my experience, I'm increasingly convinced that more often than not, God is changing me through prayer. God is changing me through prayer. God and God's love and God's mercy, God sustains, nourishes, strengthens, empowers, emboldens us, enables us to face those circumstances that which we are up against. Sometimes we do this with joy and gratitude. Sometimes it's pain and loss, but God is with you. God is for you. If prayer, as Jesus teaches it, is about communion and presence, then there really is only one answer to prayer. And that's God. God is the answer. God is the answer. I don't mean that just God answers our prayers, but that God is the answer. God's presence, God's life, God's love, God's beauty, God's generosity, compassion, forgiveness, justice, and mercy. God gives God's self as the answer to our every prayer. Because at the very end of our scripture today, it says this: if you, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your kids, I guess I'm evil. I'm a good gift giver, I think. So if you know how to give good gifts to your kids, how much more will your Heavenly Father give you what? Holy Spirit. God is the answer. God is the answer to your every prayer. Amen and amen.